Yo, what's up, everybody? Since you guys all know it is tax season, I want you guys to know that today's sponsor is brought to you by Magnolia Tax Services. If you're a business owner or a high-earning individual, take control of your finances with the tailored tax planning services of Magnolia Tax Services. Their team of certified public accountants and enrolled agents specializes in maximizing savings for individuals and businesses by utilizing the latest tax laws and strategies. From complex business structures to high net worth individuals, they'll develop a customized plan to minimize your tax liability and increase your bottom line. Don't leave money on the table. Contact our partners at Magnolia Tax Services today for a consultation and get $100 credit towards your service by clicking the link in the show notes. That's right, guys. Like I said in the beginning, it is tax season, so you want to make sure you tap in with my guys at Magnolia Tax Service today. And once again, that link is in the show notes, and now we'll get right into the show.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
Yo, 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 what's up, y'all? Welcome back to the greatest show on earth, the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I am your host, Xavier, and today I got another crazy fire episode on the way for y'all. So y'all make sure y'all like, subscribe, share, comment, leave that five-star rating and review. We would greatly, greatly appreciate that. And getting right into the show today, I got another dope guest that's killing it, man. He's in the media as well. He going crazy. So I had to have him on the show. His name is James Hill. Welcome to the show, bro.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. I've been watching your show for a minute, just from afar, like, you know, commenting, sharing your stuff all the time. Like, and I really appreciate your platform and what you built, bro.
Thank you,
like,
bro.
It's not easy. A lot of people see what you do. You know? It's not easy, man. I respect you a lot because it's not easy to stay consistent. It's not easy to have a good quality. It's not easy to have good quality guests. It's not easy at all. You make it look easy, though.
Right.
You make it look easy, man. So I appreciate you.
I appreciate that, man. Somebody that's being in media, we can only relate to each other because we know how difficult this thing is. But getting right into it, so for the people that may not be familiar with you, they might be under a rock, just get some brief background there so let the listeners know who you are.
All right. Look, we was kind of talking offline, so I'm going to give y'all the full transparent, like, everything, the struggle, the good, the bad. So I'm from the east side of Detroit, and you know, when I was younger, I always wanted to be rich, bro. Like, I come from the bottom, bro. Like, my parents ain't have nothing, hustling in the streets, like, you know what I'm saying? And I was that young kid that, you know, saw problems very, very early. So when I was like 5 or 6, I'm like, why we ain't got a car? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm asking questions like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my friends going to this certain school and I'm going to the school that's across the street. And I'm like, why we ain't got a car? And then my grandma just was like, look, you gotta, wherever you can walk, that's where you're going to be able to go to school. So like, I was raised by my grandma because I lost my mom to gun violence. Damn. I was all through the foster care system from 4 to 6. But once I got out, I was adopted by my grandma and I grew up with my dad. And I just had a, you know, a good upbringing. We was poor, but, you know, my family was really there. Like, I had good family behind me. No matter what was going on around me, you know, people let me know that these things are wrong and you got to go down the right path. So I just look at myself like I was the chosen one, bro. Yeah. Like, I was just the guy in the neighborhood that people, no matter what's going on, they'd be like, nah, bro, you gotta dip. Like, something about to go down around here. Like, you don't even need to be on the block. So I was that kid. I know a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah.
So from the age about 12 up to probably about 18, 19, man, I was in the streets just shooting dice, doing little stuff like that to make money, hustling, cutting grass. I was always a hustler. I always tell people, like, I've been paying my grandmother's phone bill, me and my grandmother's phone bill, since I was like 13.
True.
And people don't believe that, but I'm like, bro, we used to shoot dice, take bottles to the store, cut grass, shovel snow. I just always been a hustler. I do whatever it takes legally, you know,
to
get my bread. But, you know, I started realizing that a lot of the people were struggling because of education. You know, I started, when, you know, my teachers, they was telling me about college and telling me about this. And I'm just like, asking my family members, like, why ain't nobody go to college? Why y'all ain't go to college? Why ain't do this? And, you know, my uncles and them was just telling me their stories. And I was just like, man, I just want to go to college one day. But I didn't really have a, you know, I ain't have no money to go. I didn't know how I was going to pay for it. So I went off to a school called Saginaw Valley. It's probably 2 hours north of Detroit. And that was the best thing that ever happened to me, bro. Like, getting out of the hood. It wasn't really the college. It wasn't like the college, the stuff you learn. It was more so getting out of the hood, getting in a good environment. Because, again, I'm a good kid. I'm smart. Smarter than a lot of, you know, a lot of people that was around me. So I was able to turn that hustle and ambition I had and kind of fine tune it. So while I was in school, I studied communication and marketing. I was a school journalist. I wrote for the school newspaper, won contests for my, you know, my writing skills and all of that. But when I got out of college, bro, I couldn't get a job. I was trying to get a job in media, trying to get, you know, trying to become a journalist. I had good interns. I had 2-3 years of experience as a writer. I just couldn't get a good job. But they offered, the one job that did give me a call back in media was this company, a newspaper. They would offer me like $25,000 to move in the hood of Baltimore, bro. I'm talking about where The Wire was shot at, bro. Like, it was ridiculous, right? Crazy. And I thought about it for a quick second, and I'm just like, bro, $25,000, like, to move? Like, nah. I'm like, nah. So, I went into banking. I went into finance, right? I was real good at sales. So I had interned at a company called Quicken Loans, which is now Rocket Mortgage on the stock market. And I interned there. I got the job and I came in blazing at, you know, probably about 22, 23 after I graduated from college. And my first year, I made like $150,000. So I'm like, wow, like my family's looking at me like I'm rich, right?
Because they like you rich, you up.
You know, I'm up, I'm buying shoes for kids. I'm the Christmas on me, Thanksgiving food on me, that whole nine. So I did that for about a year and I just really got drained because I was still emotionally attached to the streets, meaning I still knew a lot of the guys that was still running in the streets. I still was friends with guys that was going to jail. Right. I was friends with these people who was strung out on drugs or whatever. So I just was like, it was really draining for me to ride around in my car. I'm doing good. I'm making good money. And I go 10 minutes up the road where I grew up at. I had a condo downtown Detroit. As soon as I hit the freeway, I'm back in the hood. And I'm just like, man, I can't grow like this. So man. I saved about $40,000, bro. And I never been to Atlanta before. I'm from Detroit. And I quit my job cold turkey, bro. My whole family, like, just turned on me, bro. Like, you stupid. You an idiot. Like, you ain't going to be... You, I don't know if I can cuss on here, but yeah, you ain't going to be shit. Yeah. Like, damn, what family. The fuck? Like, what the fuck, bro? Like, friends laughing at me. I was talking to a girl. She stayed in Canada, actually. Like, the border. It's right there. So, I told her I quit my job to be an entrepreneur. And she literally, like blocked me, bro. She probably was just with me because I was a banker making, you know, six figures. Money, yeah. She was still in college. So, I was rich to her.
Right.
And, you know, everybody just really turned on me and was just like, you ain't going to be shit, bro. Like, you fumbled the bag, basically. And I came down to Atlanta to start my media company. But before it was Black Millionaires, I had a media company called Millennial Mistakes. And, you know, I fell flat on my face with that company and lost a lot of money.
Word.
So...
Dog, it's a lot we got to touch on because you just went deep, man. But even the family thing, that's an aspect that a lot of people go through. A lot of people don't talk about when you be an entrepreneur. Some people got people that's family that's extremely supportive that support their moves, and then you got another side of it similar to yours where everybody turn their back on you, call you dummy, stupid. That's how you how did you deal with it? How like didn't you allow that to stop you? Because a lot of people gonna be like. Maybe I am tripping.
Yeah.
Fuck it, I'm a mistake.
You know what? I got to a place where it was either I'm going to be disappointed in myself or I'm going to disappoint the people around me for a few years.
Damn.
Right? That's so real. I had to look at myself in the mirror and say, you know, I'm a bet on myself. And if I lose, bro, like I'm going to lose with my plan. Because y'all been living before me and y'all plan ain't working. Right? And I was just talking to... one of my homegirls about this, and she was talking about how, like, in different cultures, some people have, like, arranged marriages, arranged careers, arranged jobs, and, like, a lot of people hate it, especially in American culture when your parents are telling you what to do and giving you direction. But, like, I feel like a lot of people, especially in the Black community, we need stuff like...
We need
structure, bro. We need people to be able to... We need a real big homie or big mama, whatever you want to call it, bro, to really... show you the way. And I didn't have that. So I'm like, y'all plan didn't work for the last 40, 50, 60 years since we've been living in Detroit. So let me try something out on my own. So the first year I had a company called Millennial Mistakes, and you know, nobody supported it. Everybody laughed at me. What was it about? It was really about financial literacy.
Okay.
Because I was a banker, I was pulling people credit. Like, as a banker, I pull like 30 credit reports a day.
Right.
Right. And then they pull my credit once a month just to make sure my credit is good. So I had like a 750, 760 credit score. And my credit score is still good because you got to learn all of that when you are getting your mortgage license. I was a mortgage loan officer.
Okay.
In like 18 different states. So you got to learn all of that in order to even work for the company that I was working for. So with the family situation, bro, I just really was like, y'all just don't understand. And y'all never got out of the hood. Y'all never traveled nowhere. When I was in college, I studied abroad. Okay. So I was in Amsterdam for like 3 weeks.
Word.
That opened my eyes again. I'm just like, and then I go from there to now I'm back in the hood.
Yeah.
So, you know, once you see something, it's like, imagine you got a spouse and you see your spouse phone ring and it's something weird. You can't unsee that. That's what exposure does to you when you go and expand and get out of your neighborhood, get around good people.
That's a bar.
So I got exposed to better and I just couldn't really unsee it. So I just really wanted to bet on myself, man. So I started a financial literacy company. Didn't really know what I was doing, bro. I just knew I wanted to teach people because people didn't know about credit. They didn't know about student loans. They didn't know about anything. I was paying off all my student loans. I paid off all my debt. I had actually stopped paying off my student loans. We can get into talking about that. Okay. But my first company, Millennial Mistakes, I lost like 40 grand, bro. That's pretty much all my savings. I had a little 401k, cashed that in. I had some stocks, cashed that in.
What you lose the money on?
Bro, I lost the money on just marketing, trying to do five different things. So I was trying to run ads on Snapchat, Instagram, Google, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. Just trying to run people to like, hey, check my podcast out or check my this or check this content I just made.
Yep.
And I just was really throwing the money away. I was buying all this crazy equipment. So I got my office back in Atlanta, bro, like. I got a closet with like $20,000 to $30,000 worth of equipment I don't ever use to create none of my content because I just spent a lot of money, bro. Just not having no direction, no mentors, just going on my own because I had that stigma of from my family that I gotta prove something to them. So I'm gonna get the best camera. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna go get the best mics. I'm gonna go do this and instead of actually doing what's best for me. I was trying to prove something to other people. And, bro, I fell flat on my face, bro. So I went broke. I had to go back and try to get a job or whatever.
You went back to Detroit?
No, look, I was trying to. They wouldn't let me, right? I called my old job back and basically, like, begged them for a job. Like, hey, can I come back? Like, my license still good. They're like, nah. Hung up on me. Called my parents. They like, I mean, my dad, like, I mean, you already down there. You might as well figure it out. So I just like, all right, bro. So I went back to corporate. I was doing sales and, you know, I was making probably about 50, 60,000 a year. Then I'm like, this ain't enough, bro. So I'm like, what can I do? And then the guy who started Quicken Loans, his name is Dan Gilbert.
Dan Gilbert.
Yes, he owned the Cavaliers. Right. And let me tell you a story about why I quit. And then it's going to kind of like come full circle.
OK,
so the reason I quit Quicken Loans is because they had this tournament called March Madness. And I worked 31 days straight in March. Basically, you work from 7 to 7. Well, from like 8, that's when we get into the team meeting, and then you work from like 9 to like 7 every day
for 31 days.
Every day, Monday through Sunday, because they are online internet companies, so they don't shut down, bro. Like Quicken Loans, that's how they steal market share, because they don't shut down. You can get a mortgage at 10 o'clock at night from Quicken Loans. So working every single day, right? And we had this tournament. And I was the first loser, bro. The top five people got the paid trips, $20,000 bonus, the whole thing. I was number 6. And I stormed out the office. I was pissed off. My VP called me back and invited me to the Cavaliers game. And me being from the east side of Detroit, I don't know. I'm just like, all right, we're going to drive from downtown Detroit to downtown Cleveland. But Dan Gilmer put me on his private jet, bro.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. So Dan, I'm on a private jet with billionaires, all these people, bro. It was me and probably like 10 other people who was really, really good. Because I was the top banker in my class, but I wasn't a top banker in the company because I was just brand new.
Right.
Right. So based on the people who was under 2 years or whatever, I was like the top of the top. So they invited us. We sat courtside. You know, LeBron James was still on Cleveland. He was still on Cleveland at that time. And it just changed my life, bro. Like, I got up there.
Exposure.
It took us 17 minutes to get from downtown Detroit to downtown Cleveland. When I say they was feeding me grapes, bro, they really was, bro. Like, they had like a flight attendant kind of lady on there, and she was like feeding us grapes, champagne bottles, Ace of Spades. It was like,
damn,
I couldn't unsee that, right, bro. Right, and then I go back and I'm working for this dude, and he had this day called Ism Day, something that they teach. It's just like, that's what they call that culture. They call it isms. And he was talking about how he was delivering pizzas and how he started his company. And he dropped out from he was a lawyer, and he dropped out of his firm as a lawyer, and he was delivering pizzas. So I remembered that. And when I had to go back and get my job, I was like, I'm not just going to work a 9-to-5. I'm going to actually do some type of side hustle. So the two side hustles that I was doing is on the weekends. Throughout the weekday, I was going to estate sales. And people can do this right now, bro. People don't, they don't understand like how this is so lucrative. In every city, they have a rich end of town, they have a poor end of town. The rich end of town is where the mansions, the estates, the nice condos, whatever it be. They have estate sales. So I used to go on and buy the furniture and all the old stuff from estate sales, because it's really just rich people trying to move. So it's really like a rich person's garage sale.
Right.
So I used to go buy like $1,000 worth of those products and go put them on Facebook Marketplace, flip that, turn $1,000 into like $2,500, and go do it every, you know, Monday through like Wednesday. That's when they predominantly have them. So I was like, okay, I'm doing that after work, my 9-to-5. And I'm like, I need another way to make money. So I'm like, I'm going to start delivering pizzas, bro. So I started delivering pizzas. I ain't tell nobody but my sister. My sister was the only person that really like encouraged me and believed in me. Bro, and I saved up my money. I saved up probably about $20,000 then. And then I just started investing. I had paid off all my debt other than my student loans. And I stopped paying off my student loans because I'm like, for once, I'm going to bet on me. Like, the problem when I lost my $40,000, the good thing about losing that is I learned digital marketing. I learned how to grow a brand.
You learned what to do.
I learned what not to do, and then I learned what to do, but I was broke, right? I ain't had the money, right?
All right, so you thought, I just need money now.
And now I just needed money. So I went and I got the money, and now I just started, I actually started with a partner. I started the brand Black Millionaires. I was like, man, I want to create a media platform that just highlight positivity, not necessarily based on rappers or athletes, but it's more so based on just a real corporate professional individual who might be a multimillionaire, and they might be an executive. They don't get the same respect as the entertainers in our community, bro. So I'm like, I want to create a platform for them. So me and my friend, we came up with a name. It was Black Millionaires. And then 2 days after, this was like my best friend, bro. 2 days afterwards, we put $150 up a piece, bro. I went and bought the domain name. I started the Instagram page. I paid for Canva. And that was it. So I was out about $150. And my friend, who was my best friend at the time, he was like, bro, give me my fucking money back, bro. Like,
what?
We got into it. This is our first time ever having an argument. He was like, get my money back. I don't want to work with you no more. Like, whatever. I had like missed 2 calls because I was on a date with some chick and I answered his call. So I'm like, bro, like, you doing all this over $100? We trying to make millions, bro. Like, you doing all this over $100? And this was like December, bro. This was like December 2019, right? Yeah. But all 2019 was like my get back
That's
year.
Crazy.
It was like my get back year where I had to get my money right, get everything back. So I had some money. I was ready to go all in. So at that point, I quit my job and I went back in again, right? So I started Black Millionaires, and I
bet he kicking himself in the ass now, though.
Oh my God, bro! He reached out to me, and I'm just like, bro,
it's over with,
bro. So, so basically, I met the guy, Lonnie Johnson,
okay,
who is the creator of the Super Soaker.
Yeah,
and I posted
that. Detroit, right? Where
you
from?
No, he's from like Alabama. I'm staying in Atlanta. He stays in Atlanta. Met him, and my life changed after meeting him, bro. I took a picture with him. And I posted it up, and people's like, who is that? Like, why? Who is that?
He's super up.
he's super up. He worth half a billion.
Yeah.
And that's where the idea of black millionaires came from. Because I'm like, why don't he have a platform, bro?
Don't nobody know who he is.
Why don't people in our community know him? So we created the platform. My business partner got the fuck on me. And then I remembered I took that picture with him. And I created like a meme ad, posting it up. Boom, the shit went viral. So before the pandemic shut everything down, I already had my brand going. And then I was doing speaking engagements to foster youth. So I was making probably like, that's how I was making a lot of money outside of the other hustles is speaking. And all those got canceled due to COVID. So I just had to go all online, digital.
Make your business.
And, you know, the brand just continued to grow. I know how to create viral content. I know how to spark controversy to get traffic to my page.
That's a skill, man.
That's a skill.
I think that's one of the, you know, we living in a digital age. I think that's one of the most important skills. Well, I ain't gonna say important. That's one of the best skills you can have. Mm-hmm. If you know how to go viral today, if some people don't really understand that, because I mention this a lot. They be like, what the fuck? I don't want to go viral. It's like, man, you could, your whole life could change if you know how to go viral, especially if you know how to do it consistently.
Yeah, and I was going viral all 2018, 2019, but I just didn't know how to monetize it. Right? And that's why I was like, I had learned the skills, but I ain't had no money. I ain't know how to do the digital marketing stuff, but I spent... 2019 just really
learning,
and then 2020 was my execution year, man. So we started growing a lot of followers. So we was doing, you know, I just started trying to figure out ways to make money. So I started a merch, you know, I started selling merch, selling ads. I love to help people, so I just packaged up my blueprint, gave it away, in terms of like how to grow your followers or whatever. So I was making a whole bunch of money on like an ebook.
Man, you're doing it,
you know, doing stuff. And I still started doing speaking engagements after the world opened back up. So I was really, really running it up. Like I was really making a lot of money because I knew what not to do. And now I know, I'm like, bro, if I get an opportunity to make some real money, I'm gonna know exactly what to do. So I wasn't blowing my money during the pandemic, how everybody blew their money. It's a lot of people who fucked up right now. It's a lot of scams coming out.
Yep.
It's a lot of people who ain't balling like they used to be balling.
Yep.
But I fucked up my money in 2018 and 2019. So when the pandemic came, I was already mentally ready for all that influx of money and influence and everything that I got over the last few years. I was ready. And if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready.
And the good thing, which sounds like this is about to sound like an oxymoron. The good thing about fucking up your money is because it has to happen eventually. I think a lot of people don't understand, especially if you're young, you're black, you come from a culture and an environment where nobody had a legit bag before you.
Right.
So you going to, it's 99% of the chance you're going to fuck up that bag.
Yep.
But I'm telling the listeners, it's okay. We all done it. Mm-hmm. We've been there, and it's a necessity because that's going to teach you what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And what not to do, like you said, from your own experiences, will tell you what to do.
Right.
So I know I get a lot of messages from people that blow a bag. Like you said, during the PPP 2020, everybody blew their bag. It's like, it's all good, bro. Money come, money go. Mm-hmm. You can't, don't let that shit define you. Don't trip about it. Just run it. You know how to run it up. If you run it up once, you could do it again. Mm-hmm. Just figure it out a way. But I want to ask you, because I get a lot of messages, bro. We know what we do. Everybody want a platform now.
Yes, everybody.
And we got in that. I tell people all the time, timing is everything. I know it boils down to I got in this at the right time.
Yep.
I know if somebody try to duplicate what I did with no following today, it's going to be damn near impossible for them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say to people that ask that question? They like, because how many followers you got on the ground?
Shit, 840,000.
So how many followers you got across all the platforms combined?
It's definitely over a million because TikTok, we got probably a couple hundred thousand too. My personal page, I got like 70.
So you over a million.
Yeah, we definitely probably over a million.
So you got over a million followers across all platforms. What's your piece of advice? I only said that so people know like, oh shit, you know what I'm saying? This ain't no peewee shit. So like what's your piece of advice to people that want to duplicate and build a media company and do all these things digitally? What's your piece of advice for them?
I would tell people you got to do something that stands out, right? And you know,
how do you do that?
A lot of people are trying to copy other people's blueprint.
Yep.
You don't want to necessarily, like, I can't never do the Millionaire Mindset podcast as good as you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to be you, and this podcast is a reflection of you, your thoughts, and I don't know what you got going on and plan. But I could look at what you do and say, you know, how do he select his guests? How do he do his content stuff? So you got to know, don't try to copy somebody's personality, copy their systems, right? A lot of people want my results, but they don't want my system. So when I tell people what to do, like, okay, create meme ads. What is a meme ad? A meme ad is explaining what you do or explaining your content in three different ways, meaning you explain your content through visual, you explain your content through audio, and you explain your content through words. Most people don't know how to do that. I learned this because, and you can go on my page and even see this, in like 2018, I went to a Facebook, like Facebook was like hosting like a small business, like I ain't gonna call it a conference because it was only like workshop. It was like a workshop or whatever in Atlanta. And I just randomly went one day because I was at this place called The Gathering Spot. And I learned that from Facebook in like 2018, 2019. And the reason you create those type of ads is because, and I'm saying meme ads, it don't necessarily have to be an advertisement, but that's just how I the call content. It. That's just how I call it, right? Right? Meme content. And the reason you want to do that is because what I learned is 60% of people watch your content without the audio on. You probably didn't know that with having a podcast. You're like, what the hell? Like 60% of people watch my content without the audio on. Because most people are at work. Most people at church. Most people on the bus. And they ain't got headphones or they ain't, you know, they're not playing their music out loud. So you got to figure out a way to communicate the same message without them hearing what you're actually saying. So how do you do that? You do that with your visuals, like the stuff that you put on your content, and you do that through your words. So that's why when people come on my page, I have the words at the top. I have like I have the caption down below explaining what they do. And then even if it's not somebody talking, I still have like a trending audio that reiterates exactly what I'm getting at, because sometimes people have to hear it from multiple angles. Some people are audio learners, some people are visual learners, some people are readers. And if you are only doing audio, for example, then you're going to miss those visual learners and those readers. If you are only doing visual and you're not really telling people through your audio or through your words, you're going to miss those. So the way my content goes viral is I get all of those people on one post and I give them a call to action, give some type of controversy, meaning your content has to force people to take an opinion. Meaning you in real life you lukewarm, right? But on social media you got to be hot or cold. You can't be, well, it depends on this, it depends on that. Don't nobody want to hear that shit. People want to hear either a man should pay all the bills or a man shouldn't do nothing for your ass, right? That's what people want to hear. So a lot of people aren't creating engaging and viral content because they tiptoeing around what they really believe in. And if you really believe in something, say that, stand on it, and let it do what it do. You want people to disagree with you, bro.
Yep.
Like, you think about all the famous celebrities and people that you know. Donald Trump, people love him or hate him.
Kanye,
you love him or hate him. Obama, you love him or hate him. LeBron, you love him or hate him. Kim Kardashian, you love her or hate her.
Even on a smaller level.
Exactly.
Charleston White.
Right. People love Charleston White. With Charleston White, I love him some days and I hate him some days. I ain't gonna lie, right? But I fuck with Charleston White, bro. Like, with his message, you know, what he's trying to get across, especially to the youth or whatever. But some stuff, I'd be like, yeah, this ain't me. This ain't for me. Right? And he knows that.
Right? Kevin Samuels, another one.
That was my guy, right? Because a lot of the stuff I agree with, some of the stuff, like, I don't know about that. But it was polarizing.
Yep.
So people are not going to be able... You can replicate and build a platform because people are doing it every single day. The pandemic did expedite a lot of stuff.
It did.
But everybody, if you are consistent and you have a personality, you're going to gravitate. People are going to gravitate to you. Like, you're going to find your tribe. But most people are trying to copy your personality and they can't.
He's only one of you.
Exactly.
And you're right. They're not polarizing enough. And most people group think.
Yes.
So group think doesn't work well with the internet.
Bro, you will never get rich, bro. You will never, ever get rich following the crowd.
Never.
Think about this. If everybody has the same play, it's going to get watered down.
Exactly.
So if you are the one, if everybody going this way and you're the one going this way, Who you think gonna eventually get rich? That one person going this way or the 99 other people going that way? The world literally does not work that way. Everybody can't be right. So I get nervous when a lot of motherfuckers start agreeing with me. I don't really even like that. Like when people agree, when a lot, especially if they broke and they ain't really got nothing going for themselves. If they agree with me, fact. I'm like, oh,
I'm doing something wrong.
I might be doing something wrong.
This might be wrong.
Because a lot of my mentors and things like that, they had called me and be like, I see what you're doing. I like what you're doing. Like, keep going with that. And it might be one of my posts where everybody's disagreeing with me, cussing me out, saying I'm stupid, saying this, that, and the third. But that's just let me know, like, I'm one of the few who are actually going to be successful, because most people are they're followers, bro. Most people aren't leaders.
That's what makes it easy. I don't want to say easy, but easier for people like you and me, because you have your own mindset, own opinions, and you know how to let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you to figure out? I'm trying to say it where people can understand it, because I know a lot of the verbiage, unless you in media, you're not going to really understand exactly what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, how long did it take you to figure out, like, okay, I know how to make shit go. Like, because I know exactly, like, when I know exactly how to make something go, I know when I do it, I could be recording something right now. And the person could just be saying, you could be talking.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I already know, like, oh, this is going to go viral. Mm-hmm. I'm going to clip this up, how I clip it up, do what I do. Put that thing, I was on crazy. But it took me, I ain't gonna lie, bro. It took me like 3 years to really learn it.
Yeah.
So how long did it take you to learn that?
I would say it probably took me probably about two years. But I did have that year of when I learned a lot and I lost a lot of money. So those things really stick to me. So I learned a lot there, what not to do. And then over the next year after that, I learned what to do. So it took me probably about two. But that is a phenomenal skill to have. I know right now I can post up something that's going to be controversial, get 2,000-3,000 comments. And then it's not necessarily just about the engagement. I also know how to monetize on the back end, which is how you make the money.
Talk about
right?
that.
Yeah, so you want to create systems. So there's multiple ways to build a business, right? In today's era, you can go hire a bunch of employees, which is what a lot of people do when they make money and they want to grow and scale. Or what I like to do, I like to hire technology. So I automate a lot of my processes because, like, even though my company, you know, makes real good money, like, I only have probably about 4 or 5 people. Like, I got a tiny squad, bro. But, like, my guys at Word and Vision, for example, they might have 50 people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I like to keep the low overhead because now we're in a recession, bro. Like, stuff tightening up. I like to keep low overhead, and I love to leverage technology and automate. So I automate pretty everything I do. I sit down and I try to brainstorm, how can I automate this? Or is it even worth doing? See, a lot of people are out here and they're broke because they're doing minimum wage activities. How you gonna make $100,000? How you gonna make 7 figures, 8 figures if you're doing minimum wage activities, right? If you can do something and you can hire somebody and they're 80% as good as you, that means you're not good at that enough to be doing it. Hire somebody else to do it. Or hire technology to do it, right? That's the mindset that I think with. And do you need to even be doing this? Is your time more valuable doing something else? So I would tell people the way to make real money is low expenses, high income. But the way you get there is by figuring out how you could invest the least amount of money and get the highest impact. Meaning the highest return on your investment. And I'm not talking about some get rich quick scheme. I'm talking about marketing, right? And marketing is one of those things that's very subjective. You can spend a year trying to develop this marketing plan and the shit don't work. Or you can sit on this podcast and clip one 30-second clip and that shit go viral.
Go viral.
You see what I'm saying? So you got to realize which one is worth your time. It might be worth you to sit down with a good guest and go viral versus you trying to go hire some marketing firm to do this, you know, $100,000 marketing strategy. So I would tell people, and especially let me speak to my black business owners, right? Because a lot of times I get pissed off with a lot of black business owners when I meet with them and I ask them, why do you think you're not getting the results you want? Right? And they talk about their product. They talk about this. Most people have a $0 advertising budget. They not posting their stuff up on media blogs. You know Fashion Nova?
Yeah.
Bro, they post on The Shade Room. They post on Hollywood Unlocked. They post on No Jumper.
All the time. They post
on World Star every single day. So they basically own those platforms, basically, because they're posting up on them all day, every day. And they're a multi-billion dollar company because of it. We don't know how to monetize our influence. And the reason we don't know how to monetize our influence is because we don't have marketing budgets, bro. A lot of our celebrities, a lot of our influencers, they don't work with and support a lot of black-owned businesses because you're not coming with the bag.
Bro.
Woo! You're not coming with the bag, but let's just be honest, bro.
If you're an influencer,
if you're very influential, and you got this business over here, business number one, and you got business number two, one is black-owned or whatever you want to support, and the other one isn't black-owned, right?
They coming with that cheese.
But one is coming with that check. The other one ain't even coming with the check. They coming with support. You can't scale support, bro.
We're talking about, can we do collaboration?
Exactly. A lot of times collaboration might not work because my value might be here and yours might be here.
Exactly.
And our collaboration, in order for you to get here, you might have to come with that check.
You gotta come with that. Man,
ain't nothing wrong with that, bro.
That's so, bro. Man, I know this firsthand. That's real. Cause I realize a lot of especially like you said, a lot of black entrepreneurs, man, we want things at a discounted rate.
Yeah.
Either we don't want to pay at all, or we want something at a crazy discount where it's like, it's not no benefit to me no more. This discount doesn't serve me. Mm-hmm. But what do you say to this though? Because people will hear you say that and they'll be like, how can I have a marketing budget when I don't have any money?
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to people regarding marketing budgets, but they ain't got no bread like that?
Right. When I ain't had no money, bro, I'm gonna tell you what I did. I told you about the estate selling when I went on Facebook Marketplace and flipped the money. I was delivering pizzas and I sold my TV. I sold my TV because the TV cost me $200 in money, but the time that it cost me watching it was thousands and thousands of dollars, and it was costing me my whole future. So I would challenge people who say they don't have money. It's not that you don't have money. You don't have skills to make money. So start thinking about different skills. What can you offer to make money, right? And you can do different side hustles. And the problem with the side hustles that a lot of people don't want to go do to make the money is they think, oh, just because I'm delivering pieces, I'm going to deliver pieces for the rest of my life. No, I was out there delivering pieces with a goal. Okay, I'm gonna get that 20-30K back that I just lost. So I'm delivering pieces with a goal. I'm doing DoorDash with a goal. I'm doing Uber with a goal, right? If you are out there doing that. So a lot of people get discouraged of doing those side hustles. People got time. You got time. If you really want to make money out here, there's so many different ways to make money. You can go be an assistant to somebody. You can go some faux t-shirts for somebody at their clothing brand. You can start your own clothing brand, go around and sell it. You don't need money to make money to get started. You need money to take it to the next level, but you don't need money to make money to get started. I went around knocking on doors, asking people, hey, I'll shovel your snow, cut your grass, I'll do this, whatever. I took bottles to the store when I was 13. It's ways to do, you know, it's ways to get that initial capital. And I started my brand with $150, bro. So, like, you ain't got $100?
Exactly.
You got the money, bro, because you got designer clothes. You got designer bags. Let's talk about it, bro. You going on trips to Miami.
Yep.
You buying shots in the club, right? You got the money, bro. But you don't got the priorities. That's what you don't got. You got the money. Most people got the money, bro.
I completely agree with you, bro. And I think a lot of it comes down to pride.
Because
once you get a bag, if you're already a prideful person, the bag gonna make you more prideful, more feeling yourself. But once you lose it, that pride doesn't go anywhere. You might be even more prideful now, because like, I don't want nobody to see me down now. Everybody's used to seeing me at this level. Now I'm down here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to like relinquish this pride and just go out here and go get me a side hustle, because I don't want people to look at me crazy. And that's what keep a lot of people broke.
I don't know what it was about me, but I was always willing to embarrass myself and put myself out there. People see me going viral with content now and doing, you know, the conferences and stuff that I do. But bro, what they don't see is when I was 18, I was getting laughed at in college for doing corny videos. Like, you know, I was creating videos, and we'd have a it was like this church on campus, and I like convinced the pastor of the church, like, hey, can I show my motivational video starting out? So when I did that, people, who the hell is this? Like, turn this off, bro. What is this? Right? And people was laughing at me, bro. But I'm willing to do that to get feedback. I'm like, okay, they ain't feeling that. Let me come back. And by the end of the semester, people was asking, like, oh, cuz ain't got his videos up no more.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I was willing to get laughed at the first 3 months to celebrate for the next 30 years, bro, because I developed a skill. I developed confidence, right? And if you're not willing to get laughed at, do you even deserve the results at the end of the tunnel?
You don't, bro.
If you're not willing to start your podcast and have one download the first podcast, are you willing to really have 1 million downloads on your thousands podcast? No. Nope. You don't deserve it, bro.
I read somewhere, this is funny, because I read somewhere, this probably like a week ago, they said, in order to be, I'm paraphrasing, but it was like, in order to be successful, you have to first be okay with embarrassing yourself.
Yes.
You got to put yourself out there on that line for people to laugh at you, talk shit about you,
yes,
shame you, all those things. And so many people, they stagnant and they not growing and they'll never probably get no bread is because they too scared and worried about what everybody else going to say.
You worried about what everybody else doing.
Like, oh, they going to call me a failure if my business don't work out. If I go try to do this, they going to laugh at me. So I'm just not going to do anything at all.
Bro, one thing that really opened my eyes is being a banker, you pull a lot of people credit. The people who are trying to buy a house are quote unquote like middle class or upper middle class or like even rich people. But a lot of them don't even got their shit together, bro. No, like a lot of them don't. They work at these high tech companies and they doing things, but they struggling just like you. So it's like, if you're listening to this, just put yourself out there. You want people to laugh at you. You want people to be like, oh man, that ain't gonna work, right? Because at least they are acknowledging you. They're acknowledging that you're trying something. So the people who most businesses fail, bro, because they don't even start. Right? They don't even put themselves out there. You ain't you worried about everybody else and you're robbing your future kids, grandkids or whatever of a better future and a better life because of some guy that at your job that laughed at you. Bro, people used to laugh at me at work. I used to bring books to work. On my lunch break, everybody else going out. I'm reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I'm reading the 48 Laws of Power. I'm reading Contagious. Right, that's a marketing book. Mm-hmm. If you in the media space,
by Jonah Berger.
Yes, if you in the media space and you ain't read that book, listen, you're sleeping. That book probably cost $12. I don't know.
That's the book that inspired Nipsey Hussle to sell his CD for $100.
And that book introduced me to Nipsey Hussle, bro.
Really?
When I read that book, I didn't know. No, I mean, and Nipsey Hussle introduced me to that book. My bad. I didn't even know Nipsey Hussle was a rapper like that, bro. I used to see his clips going viral of just motivation and him giving out game. And I was like, I didn't know who this dude was. And then I started listening to his music. I'm like, Oh, Nipsey, like he that guy, mm-hmm. right? And then, you know, and then rest in peace, Nip. Like once he passed, everybody started acknowledging his music and his brilliance. But like I learned about that book from Nip, like watching his interviews, him talking about money, real estate, business. And I'm an executor, bro. So if you give me some information, if you give me a book or if you give me a tip or a video to go I'm gonna go watch it because I'm in this for a long time, bro. I'm not trying to be a one-hit wonder sensation. I'm really trying to grow. And the only way you grow is growing your mindset, bro.
Man, that's a fact, bro. Talk about this. Like, in media, I try to convince a lot of people. I be like, bro, you need to start a media company. Whether it's a podcast, a blog, you need to do something. Like, but it's crazy how so many people still don't understand why. I think they just be thinking, like, I'm telling them to do it because it's fun. It's something hobby. People don't really understand how I'm like. It's a reason why Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post.
Oh yeah, 100%.
It's a reason because now he can control a narrative. Come out with some flack, he come out through the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't gonna be nothing bad about Jeff Bezos in the Washington Post. Yep. I guarantee you that.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about like why owning and controlling a narrative and owning a media company is so important.
Right. I mean, it's really important because you control your own narrative. And you put out what you want to put out. So a lot of people be getting mad when these media companies do blackface or say something crazy or like even the movies and the women in the movies' hair be all messed up and everything. people get mad at that. But I'm gonna challenge you and say, well, why aren't you on set? Why don't you have your own movie company? Why aren't you shooting that content so you can put the images out there that you want to reflect? Media is just a reflection of some other person's thoughts, how they view the world. So if your perspective isn't being viewed, are you even relevant to share your story? Your story, if don't nobody get your blueprint out, don't nobody get your story out, ain't nobody promoting your products, create a brand to promote your own products, right? So a lot of people don't understand how media works. Like, for example, the president that get elected is the president that has the most media coverage, good or bad.
Yep.
It don't matter, good or bad. So a lot of people don't understand how it reflects the thoughts that you have. A lot of the thoughts that you have aren't really yours. It's the reflection of the media that you are consuming, whether it's the music, whether it's the podcast, whether it's the Instagram pages, the TVs, the TV series you watch. So I want to challenge people to just go on a cleanse, right? Don't listen to no music. Don't listen to nothing that is detrimental to where you're trying to go. Right. You're obviously listening to the Millionaire Mindset podcast because you want to create generational wealth for your family. Right. So why are you listening to music that promotes destruction? You go listen to the Millionaire Mindset podcast for an hour. Then you go listen for 8 hours of somebody telling you to go rob and shoot and kill and do this and do that. Damn. Which one gonna take over your mind, bro?
You're right.
That 8 hours that you are indoctrinating yourself into that bad poverty mindset. So media is so important because media tells you who you are, right? What you are consuming is a reflection of you. So if all you're watching is gossip, if all you're doing is tearing other people down, if all you're doing is watching and listening to things that don't help you make money, then don't be surprised when you look in your bank account and you see the zeros in front instead of on the back, right? Don't be surprised when you broke if you listening to people who can't help you get to where you want to grow. So I would tell people, and that's why I sold my TV, because I understood that. When I sold my TV, it was to cut off the media that was, you know, portrayed online, because I can't control what's on TV. I can't control what's on my phone, though.
Facts.
You see what I'm saying? I can control what podcasts I listen to. If I'm just watching, if I got the TV playing, something can come on that's crazy that I necessarily don't agree with. But if I'm just sitting there watching it, you are being compliant based on what you subject yourself to. So that's what I tell people. It's like, what you watch is what you become. So if you are watching gossip and, you know, people with negative relationships, people cheating on each other, doing this, dog and that, it's going to become normalized in your life.
Facts.
So the way you build wealth is to normalize it, right? You might not be making money, but you are around people who think and talk and share tips on making money. So once you're around them long enough, you're going to be like, damn, bro. Now I got an idea of how I can go create a business or a side hustle to be able to make some money. But if you're around negative, broke people all day, they're only giving you ways to stay broke. They cannot help you elevate. Right. So that's what I tell people, bro. Media is the most important thing that you can like what you consume. It tells you who you are, bro. It's a reflection of you and your thoughts and your actions. So your thoughts become your actions. Your actions become your results. Your results becomes what raise your next your generations that's coming behind you. Mm. So the results that you want got to start with your thoughts. Your thoughts start with the media that you consume.
That's a bar, bro. And how do you handle that responsibility of, because you got a big media company now.
Yes.
And it's a responsibility that come with it. How do you stay away from, because I feel like a lot of media companies, it's easy for them to be I want to be the first one to put this out.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times it's some bullshit.
Yeah. Yes.
So how do you deal with that? Because that's a huge responsibility, because mm-hmm. you got so many people that's going to you for the information, going mm-hmm. to you for the news. So how do you handle that responsibility?
Truth be told, bro, I never want to be first. I don't like being first, bro. I don't like being first in media. I don't like being first in business. Because you first don't mean you're going to be the best.
Nah, it don't.
A lot of people, like MySpace was first. Facebook was the best. Right? You see what I'm saying? MySpace sold for $400 or $500 million, which is a lot of money. But Facebook is a it's about to be $1 trillion company, right? You see what I'm saying? So you can get crumbs or you can get the real bag. So I don't really like to be first. That's just how I operate. So I always fact check. If I'm not 100% sold on something, and if I think about everything I post, I think it's going to go viral. Right. So
when I'm standards you got for yourself,
well, not necessarily the standards I have. I'm just thinking like, if this does go viral, would this be a good reflection of my brand?
Okay.
You see what I mean?
That's
so
dope.
When I'm thinking with that thought process, I'll be like, I don't want to post that because I know that's going to be kind of, it's going to get taken, you know, kind of sideways, right? I don't want to post this. I don't want to post that, right? So I don't really like being first. I like evaluating, you know, how other people post their stuff up. And I'm like, I can tell a better story. I can uncover some stuff that people are missing out on. And that's what my brand is all about. When you come to my page, you might hear about, like, everybody was posting about Tina Turner.
Yep.
I posted about Tina Turner estate plan and how her husband's going to get half of
the estate plan. Yeah, I seen it. I found that out from your page.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And she got like a $76 million crib in Switzerland that's being turned into a museum. All of that was on my post, right? It was in the caption, etc. But like, everybody was just posting about Tina Turner's music. I wanted to post about her net worth. I wanted to tell you about how she.
I ain't know she was up like that.
Yeah, I didn't either, bro. I didn't either. But these are the stories that need to be told about the legends in our community.
Facts.
Because a lot of people don't understand estate planning, a trust, XYZ insurance. They don't understand these type of things. And the stories where a lot of our celebrities and entertainers go broke, those get out there. But the stories where, you know, they actually protect their wealth and pass it on to the next generation, that's not really news that people would like to run with. So that's why I leverage my platform to run with it. But I mean, the responsibility as a, you know, owning a media company is huge. You know, I'm not going to say no names, but like, it's a lot of people in media, bro, like that are having to check themselves because it's some bad actors out here. So it's a lot of due diligence we have to do as media companies, and to come out and say, you know, hey, we did our due diligence on this guy, or we're not sure about this. So do your own research, do your own homework. And we're seeing that right in our face that, you know, it can come back and bite you because everybody don't have good intentions. People can sit up here and talk about how they want to help you build this and invest in that, but everybody really don't have good intentions. As a media platform, what I think our responsibility is to deliver real media, meaning not one-sided. If somebody do something good, you should be able to deliver that. If that same person who came on your platform do something bad, you should be able to say, actually, this person, that information, like, it ain't right because of X, Y, Z. So you always have to change your thoughts when you get new information. And that's what I think a lot of media companies don't do. They run with a narrative. And if the new information goes against their narrative, they just don't post it up, or they just act like it's going to go away. And that can really tear down your media company, because when people start questioning your integrity, you know, that's where media goes wrong. So I just think, just tell both stories. And I personally don't like to be first. I want people to run and bump their head, and then I'll learn from their mistakes and take
that's
it
smart.
and take it to the next level.
That's smart, because you like you said, you're supposed to be unbiased.
Yes,
as a media, you're not supposed to have biases.
Yeah, but a lot of, I'm gonna tell you why, especially a lot of black media gets biased. It gets very biased because a lot of the media partnerships, like, don't a lot like your podcast, for example, right? I know you have a very, very, very influential podcast. It's just getting started, bro. You haven't seen, like, you're just scratching the surface. So you're going to, like, over the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to look back at this and be like, wow, grinding, right? But your influence doesn't necessarily reflect your income or your impact at the moment.
I see what you're saying.
So a lot of times people just, they want to expedite that process of the income, and they want to get the bag right now because they're trying to live a certain lifestyle. So they take this money, and then it ends up impacting the income that they could make in the next 5 to 10 years. And most people would rather make a quick $10,000 over the next few weeks than a slow million over the next 2-3 years. Most people would. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, bro, and I know this for a fact because a lot of people get caught up in get rich quick stuff and flipping this and turning this $10 into a million, and it just don't work. So I think with media, a lot of them are bought. Like a lot of media are bought, and they're afraid, because I took money from this person, can I go against this person? And you got to be willing as media, because you should get paid for what you do.
Absolutely.
You should get paid for what you do, because you're very influential. If I'm on your podcast right now, and let's say I'm like, let's do some advertisements, man. Like, I want to do some ads with y'all. And I run some ads with y'all, and it turns out that my product was bad. You don't have to refund me my money, and you should be like, that product was bad. You should, as a media company, be able to come out and speak against your clients if they did something wrong. Mm. But most people are so scared that I'm not going to get paid again from this particular person, so I don't want to speak about it. So you basically are selling out your platform, because your audience realize it. They know when something's capped and when, you know, things go left. So you just got to be willing to tell both good and bad. And I think a lot of media don't want to do that because a fear of, this person's not going to have me on their platform, or this person's not going to invite me here, or I build my own platform, so ain't nobody got to invite me.
That's a fact.
Right? And that's because I build my own platforms, you get invited, right? Like, for example, I see you doing the Invest Fest, bro. Yep. Like, you're only there because you have a good platform. Yep. You're not there because they like you and this, that, and the third. They might not like you. You never know. But they respect you, and that's what you want people to have, important. Bro. That's what you want people to have. And I wanted to tell you congratulations on that.
Thank you, bro.
Because that's going to be big.
Yeah, that's going to be big.
That's going to be big.
Yeah. And everybody that's listening, make sure y'all there. It's going to be August 21st, 22nd, Invest Fest. Millionaire Mindsets, we will definitely be in the building. We'll be doing a live podcast. Mm-hmm. And the final thing I want to touch on, because you talked about influence. Like, man, it's so important for people, because people still don't realize that you should be getting paid for your influence.
Yes.
But a lot of it's kind of with the internet. It's hard to evaluate what you should be getting paid, or whatever you're doing, what it's worth.
Like, yeah.
Black Millionaires, your company, I don't know the evaluation, but I know for a fact that's at least $5 million.
Yeah. I'm talking about
the bare minimum.
Bare minimum,
that's
yes,
$5 million because facts, of the reach and the audience it has. So it's hard. I talk to so many companies. I go on and on about this. I talk to so many companies that I see that got similar followings as you.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about they selling their thing out for peanuts.
Yeah.
And when I find this out, I'm like, not only are y'all doing yourself a disservice, but y'all doing the entire industry a disservice.
Yes, you're doing the entire industry a disservice.
Because people going to you, they getting ads for $50.
Yeah.
You damn got a million followers. They right. Come to me thinking I'm trying to fuck them over. We're like, no.
Right. No, bro. This is the real going rate, bro.
I don't know what they doing over there. So it's like, I try to stress to people, like, as people with followers, bro, we are worth so much.
I think a lot of people, you got to become an entrepreneur.
Right.
Right. Meaning, just because you got a podcast and you got an audience doesn't necessarily mean you're an entrepreneur. So what I mean by that is you have to create brands and products around your business. It doesn't necessarily have to have your name and face on it, but you have to create brands and products around your business to realize your impact. So let me give you an example, right? So I just invested committed $200,000. I haven't actually gave $200,000 yet, but I just committed $200,000 to a hair care brand that I'm investing in, right? And I'm going to use my influence to actually grow.
To build it out.
I ain't got to put my name on it. I ain't got to put my face on it. It's going to look like a regular ad. People are just going to be like, oh, this is doing well. And we did like one ad for them, and they like tripled their money back. And I'm like, oh,
I got something
here. Like, I did my own conference, for example.
That was fire.
I did my own conference in 30 days. We had 1,000 people show up. So I'm like, I've been promoting other people's conferences, and they conferences full. It could be full because of my influence, bro. So you would never know what you can actually charge because you're not doing it for yourself. At Quicken Loans, they call it eating your own dog food. Meaning, in corporate America, that's what a lot of companies do. Like, before they go sell their services, they use their own services. So what I would challenge people in the media space to do is create your own product. Have your own webinar. Yep. Invest in some of these companies. So if somebody got a good brand that you know you can turn up, invest in that company, right? Meaning you put some money up or you put your influence, up. See, a lot of companies don't understand this, right? So when you see headlines and it says Microsoft invested $8 billion in ChatGPT, right? When you hear that, you think they gave them $8 billion.
Right.
No, they probably gave them $1.5 or $2 billion, and then they gave them $8 or $6 billion in services, meaning their servers, their access to their engineers, their media partnerships, their products, their brand deals. So it evaluates to $8 billion. But a lot of us think in terms of cash and not in terms of wealth.
Well,
they think value. About if I can't see the money, it ain't real. And that's not true. And when you are in media, bro, you got to understand that your influence
is worth.
Like, for example, like I did the Black Millionaires Conference. A lot of the guys on the conference was doing $100-$200 million in business. I'm not doing $200 million in business. Not yet. But I'm on the same stage and partnering with them because they see, like, yeah, you might have did a couple million in your business, but based on the evaluation, if you was to sell this company, you would be up, bro. So, you know what I'm saying? So, they invite me and they have me around these conversations because they know my influence is up there just as powerful as their income. And as long as I stay consistent and build brands around my influence, I can get to that level. So let me ask you this, right? Look at Jay-Z, for example. Jay-Z, he became a millionaire from music. He became a billionaire from liquor.
Yep.
Clothes. Ace of Spades. That's how he became a billionaire. A lot of people didn't even know Jay-Z owned Ace of Spades.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people didn't even know he he had a partnership with Bacardi. Right? A lot of people don't know this. So what he did is, and what happened is, Cristal was big back in the day.
Yep.
I was young, so I wasn't popping no Cristal, right? But it was big back in the day. You go look at a lot of his old videos. They popping Cristal. They start selling Cristal out. Cristal started making a lot of money. They went to Cristal and said, hey, we're influencing your business, man. Like, I got the number one hit, and I'm talking about popping your bottles. All my fans going to buy your bottles. Cristal said, get out of here. Which made him go create and go buy Ace of Spades. And he owned it, and then he sold half of it, and he made $400-500 million from that. He's leveraging his influence, right? Rihanna, how does she become a billionaire, bro? Her influence, yep. Fenty, those brands. So Rihanna's a brand. Millionaire Mindset is a brand. Black Millionaires is a brand. You know, all these other media companies are brands. Our influence is so much more than the revenue we generate.
Facts.
And your brand has perceived value, which is money as well. People will pay for that. People pay for perceived value, right? Louis Vuitton, Rolex, Cartier, Gucci. You're paying for that perceived value. You're not paying for the quality because I can go get Louis Vuitton vendor right now, slap my brand on it, and people will be like, I ain't spending $200 on that.
Right.
But if it got Louis Vuitton on it, people are going to say, oh, I spent $2,000 on that. It's all the perceived value in your mind. So the trademark that you own of your brand is worth more than the products. I would rather own Coca-Cola trademark than the Coca-Cola bottling companies that actually put the product in there. The product isn't what make them billions of dollars. It's the name, It's the name, bro. It's what you own. So I would say people in the media space, bro, you got a podcast. You got to figure out something that you could package. It don't have to have your name on it. It might have your name on it. Like the Black Millionaires Conference has my name on it, right? But the other hair care brand I own, it's called Subtle. It doesn't have my name on it, right? I'm not even on the page. I'm not the CEO. I'm the investor, right? I come in and consult with y'all. We hired a chemist. We make sure the products is good. People are never going to know I own that. But I got a percentage of it because I invested in it and I'm leveraging my influence to grow it. And when we sell it, that's when I'm going to realize my influence. Out. Like, oh, damn, he sold this for $200 million. Where did he get that type of money? I have that type of influence. And that's what I'm going to tell people. And you got that influence too. Yeah. Other people in our media space got it. They just got to build brands, bro.
Damn.
It's the brands that make the money.
You're right, man. It's no better way that I can wrap the show tonight because that's, man, I'm talking about if y'all listeners watching, if y'all really Like, if what he just said didn't go over y'all head, y'all really just understood what he said, that was $1 million worth of game right there, like, for real, because that's what it all boils down to. Mm-hmm. So people, and I know people on social media online, it's probably hard for you to evaluate, like, what you really worth, but you got to have that long-term vision to know, like even when we started Millionaire Mindsets within the first year, I'm like, man, we ain't making no money from it, but I know this shit is worth a lot of money. At the small stage, I'm like, this is worth a lot of money because mm-hmm. we're reaching a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I never shared this before. I even hired the company to evaluate the business. And as I expected it, it was seven figures.
Yes.
So I knew that before, so I'm like, let me hire these people to figure this out, because it's the internet. It's hard to really, how you
have you ever been to FinCon? Mm-mm. You need to go there, bro. I think they like next week. They're in New Orleans.
Okay.
You need to go there. They be having a lot of financial brand. That's where a lot of brand deals are made. A lot of people in the finance industry don't know about that. That's a conference you need to go to, because you need to go there and show them your analytics, and show them like, hey, like, I can really impact your business, and the brand deals that you can get from there versus that's like you going outbound, right? The brand deals that come inbound to you, obviously you're gonna do them,
yeah.
But yeah, you it's a different rate sheet when you go to companies like I had a new credit company that they had like some type of credit service. And they're like, yeah, so how much do you charge for a post? I'm like, yeah, $8,000. They're like, oh, okay.
They got the budgets.
Oh, yeah, we got the budget. We just raised $40 million. Right. I'm like, yeah, it's $8,000 for a 48-hour post. They're like, okay. They did it. They got some results. Got people to sign up. They're like, this was great. And I'm like, it sure was, right? And then now that I charged them, we could come and do a higher number, and I can add a little more value. I can say, look, we got a big email list too. We got a conference. We got a text list. We got this. We got that. And with you having a podcast about finance, people are listening to this in the mindset of finance. So if you have them do your ad, you know, do an ad at the beginning or in the middle, I don't know how you do it, but you can charge them your worth because you got the results, bro. They're paying other podcasts
for access.
For access that got half the audience and half the influences you, bro. So yeah, you need to go to those companies, bro.
Say less, it's done, bro. I'm definitely looking for someone to get off. But before we wrap up, bro, I want to say first, I appreciate, because this was short notice, man. The listeners don't know it. We make it look easy, but this was short notice. Yeah. I appreciate you coming on the show and giving us my listeners some real game and value. But before I let you go, plug all your stuff where people can find you, follow you, everything mm-hmm. you got going on. Plug it.
I appreciate that, bro. So on Instagram, my brand, the name of the company is Black Millionaire. So it's Black_Millionaires. So if you want to tap into the brand, definitely go follow us there. My personal page, if you want to learn more about me, some of the stuff I do outside of Black Millionaires and just teaching and learning or whatever I do, just James Hill TV. And that's on all platforms, YouTube, Instagram. I'm actually starting my own podcast, man. Let's get it. I was doing it, then I stopped. I was doing it, and then I'm like, okay, this is the right time. Like, I got my team in place. I got my systems rolling, so I'm rolling out my own podcast. It's just James Hill TV on YouTube. So, yeah, people want to learn from me and learn from some of my guests or just learn about more so my mindset behind building and media. Just come follow me. Come tap in with us, and I appreciate you for, this was short notice, so we just texting each other like, oh, you in Dallas? Oh, bet. Let's go. Let's do it.
Yep.
So, your network is very important. Like, and having a good name and a good brand is really important because stuff like
priceless.
This is priceless.
Mm-hmm. That's game, bro. And make sure y'all follow James. Tap in with Black Minerals on everything because they giving a lot of value to everywhere. Worldwide. You going crazy, bro. So, salute to you, man. And y'all can find us on all platforms. That's at a Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. You can follow me on all platforms at Xavier C. Miller. And I'm at the official Xavier Miller on Instagram because I got all these damn spam pages. So it's official Xavier Miller. And that's all I got for y'all on this episode of Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. See y'all next week. Peace.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.